Now I'm 47. I have them almost every day. It's with menopause. It happened with menopause. I have hot flashes, and then my eyes go, and then I can't breathe. My voice gets low. And then I cry at wine commercials. I don't know what it is.
That sounds great. How much do you pay for that? Do you pay any extra for that?
Oh, for the crying for wine commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I paid Satan a hefty amount.
See?
Mm-hmm. And I had to write with blood on his contract, so this is a lot better.
All right. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to introduce the show.
All right.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Comedy Death Star, the podcast that digs into the dark side of comedy. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Our guest this week is, drum roll please, improviser, comedic actor, and voice actor, Jerry Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to say actress. Is everybody actor?
I don't care.
You know, that doesn't...
I'm not a sexist. I don't mind either one. As long as I'm an act something.
Jerry is also a company player with Bay Area Theater Sports. Is that still true?
No, it's not, actually. I have actually left Bay Area Theater Sports. I was with them for 15 glorious years. Okay. They're one of the best training grounds.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. A little nice for me.
Okay, I'm going to ask some questions about that.
Okay.
We're going to hear about all of that in a moment. But first, a message from our corporate overlords.
Oh, do.
Comedy Death Star is a production of Actors Comedy Studio and ACSDigital.tv. Actors Comedy Studio is an all sitcom school in Los Angeles.
I read about that. That looks fabulous.
No improv, no drama, you know, so that's who is the producer of this
fabulous
show.
Fabulous.
I'm Denzel Myers. Our guest today is Silly Human, in air quotes. Is that still true?
Yeah, air quotes is fine.
But Silly Human, it's on your website, but
that's,
I want to check.
That's all right, yes, that's what I put.
True.
Yeah, that is true. That's
Jerry
basically
Lawler.
Who I am.
Silly Human.
A silly human.
When did you
Aren't
realize?
We all?
Well, when did you realize that you were really silly? That was your calling in life?
Oh, gosh, I was John Waters when I was a child. I had a Donnie Marie doll, and I had a crush on Donnie. And I didn't understand that Marie was his sister. I thought it was his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I marked her face with blood, and she always had accidents. And he always tried to save her, and he never did.
He never did.
Yeah. So I realized I was pretty weird. I was doing operas in gibberish before I could talk, and my sister would translate it to my mom. So I was always pretty freaky.
I'm really a little freaked out that you were John Waters as a child.
John Waters was John Waters as a child too, dear.
And that was freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine being his parents? They must have been really confused and upset.
Well, my mom was terrified.
Yeah.
She thought I would be a serial killer. She didn't understand it was just a fetish. Like, listen to Never, Never, Will I Marry from Barbara Streisand over and over and over again on my record player as an 8-year-old. And my mom would be sitting downstairs and going, oh, good Lord, you know, whatever happened to Disney? And I'm like, never, never. It's a really dark song. The only other person who loves it is Diane Keaton. It was her favorite song, too.
You got to sing it in a deep voice, like a deep, raspy Tom Waits voice.
Oh, the never, never will I marry. Yeah, well, that works, too.
That works, too.
It's a little too matchy-matchy.
So when you were a child, you were a combination of Tom Waits and...
No, I was a drag queen.
When you were a kid, you were a drag queen.
I wanted to be Cher.
I used to
put a macrame plant hanging on my head.
Yes.
And they couldn't keep clothes on me because I'd run around and play like I was Cher. I wanted to be a drag queen. My first gay pride parade, I saw my first drag queen, and I cried because I thought it was the most beautiful thing. I thought, that's what I want to be.
That's what I want to be when I grow up.
It was a black drag queen dressed as a maid. And I thought, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Yeah. I got the voice.
You got the voice.
But not the looks. Unfortunate.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have aspirations.
I have a lot of aspirations.
And goals. So I have some questions for you. One of the things I'm really interested about in is I read that you invented the... Simlish.
Along with Mr. Stephen Kieran, who is one of the most brilliant improvisers I have ever met. He's in the LA parts. If you ever have a chance to see Stephen Kieran, check him out. He's magic.
So how do you invent a language for a whole video game franchise, a whole popular species? Do you invent a language for a species?
When you talk about a language, it's not really, it's gibberish. Sure. But what we had to do is we had to find a gibberish that sounded like an international language, mm-hmm. but you couldn't swear in any other language. So when we were improvising, every once in a while, you would say something that meant, I'm going to kill your mother in Japanese, and it's an international game. So it was just coming up with, I mean, at first the voice was supposed to be like, and that just was so Charlie
like
Brown.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, it didn't convey anything. So it was just trying to find a way through gibberish to express certain things, like I'm telling you a limerick, or oh no, there's only two cans of Coke, and I have three guests, like oh Plaknard, it's a fluffins, it's a quamplement, you know. So it got easier, but it was crazy. Just Stephen and I in the booth for 6 hours back and forth with these little stick figures, and we had to go Plaknard, hoo hoo, Plaknard, hoo hoo, Plaknard. Can you imagine the craziness that ensues after about 3 hours of that?
What is Plaknard? What does that mean?
Well, Plaknard is basically, can I swear or no?
Yes, on the
show.
Oh,
I can?
Absolutely.
It means, oh, fuck. Plaknard! Oh, shit! You know, it's
Plaknard.
Basic. Yeah, Plaknard. But we also said Plock for God. Like, oh, Plock.
Well, that's like goddamn.
Well, there was also Plaknard. A good, like, oh, Plock is in God, but it sounded too much like fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they ever caught it, so it's still in the game. Oh, Plock! Some people think it's oh, fuck, which is okay. Fine with me.
Now, I've heard, but I want to check this, because I'm not a gibberish expert, and I think you're really good at
it. Oh, yeah, you got to be a gibberish.
No, you're really good at gibberish. The key to gibberish is that you know what you're really saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like singing or any kind of vocal stuff. Right. You got to be in the moment. And this is why I love radio so much. And yes. I've actually been doing a lot of improvising only on digital because I love the fact of it's a cartoon. You can say anything. You could do anything. You could say, honey, here, let's go. You're in. Honey, what are you doing in the closet?
I'm sniffing the shoes.
Why, honey, don't... Wait, I can hear that. Have you got my fancy boots?
Yeah, I just wanted to see where you've been, if you've been wearing socks.
Honey, what are you... Are you wearing my stuff? Are you wearing my stuff in there and sniffing my shoes? Again?
Socks. The socks.
Honey, open the... Why did you... Is there a... There's
socks.
A door. Okay, don't worry my socks. Don't worry my... Honey.
Sweetheart.
We talked about this.
5 minutes. I just need five.
Your mother is dead. Get over it. Okay, see, you know what I'm saying? It's like you can do anything. You can be like... You can just be like, oh, oh. Well, that's an uncomfortable position. Philip, Where'd you learn that?
Plumbing school.
Oh, can I move my... No, don't move that arm. But that arm is the one... No, leave that there. You know, so it's all visual. It leads it up to the imagination. It's like reading a book.
Yes, yes.
I love it.
Yes. There's a Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner thing from a million years ago about filling the Grand Canyon with a giant ice cream sundae.
Yes!
And... It's this, right? They they have mountains of ice cream that trucks push into the Grand Canyon, and then all this whipped cream and a giant banana, and then the Royal Air Force comes by and drops a cherry.
Right.
And then there's a pause, and they say, let's see you do that on television.
Yes.
Yes.
See, Elaine May and Mike Nichols, two of the best... Oh, audio improvisers I've ever heard. You ever have a chance to hear their old stuff? They are hysterical.
Yes, they're really good.
Hysterical. Elaine May, great actress. Horrible director, my God. What did she do? She did something horrible. It wasn't Skidoo. It was some horrible movie. Oh, Otto Preminger did Skidoo. That's right. That's insane.
Now, the connective tissue here is you said you are an aficionado of really bad movies. It's one of the things you collect.
Yes. Yes, Manos Hands of Fate.
Manos Hands of Fate.
Manos Hands.
Manos.
Yes, this movie was so bad.
Is it possessive, like the Hands of Fate belong to Manos?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Manos.
Apostrophe.
Well, no, it's just Manos Hands of Fate. It's a bad film. They don't know.
Like, but I mean, is it like Manos colon Hands of Fate?
No, it's just Manos Hands of Fate. I think they meant it's Manos' hands, but they don't know. I mean, they're
bad.
They
didn't have enough money for an apostrophe.
No, it would cost another $50. Yeah, they had like $50 for the whole movie.
Yeah. It would have doubled the budget if they put an apostrophe.
It was so bad that they actually, there was a guy called Torgo in it, and he was so bad that a documentary filmmaker did a whole documentary on the actor who played Torgo.
Because he was so bad. Because
he was so horrible. Oh.
And is this an American movie, a foreign movie?
It's simply American. The best are American.
Manos Hand of Fate.
Yeah, the best bad movies are American.
Is it a thriller? Is it horror? Is it a comedy?
All of them. It's supposed to be horror.
Okay.
Supposed to be. But the whole first 15 minutes is a couple with a kid driving in a car trying to find the beginning of the movie, basically. They're driving around trying to find the beginning of the movie.
I love that.
It's horrible.
I might use that.
You have to.
Use that convention of people driving in a car looking for the beginning of the movie.
Looking for what genre are we in yet? I don't know.
Is that what they say in the movie?
No.
But
that would use it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they go through a comedy genre.
My name is Jerry Lee Lawler, and I give my permission fully for him to use this idea.
This is a great idea. one last thing. In the gibberish, once you create this language, is it hard then to go back and recreate it, like to do it as an actor after it's been created?
No.
You had it all in there.
Well, no, it's basically, I mean, give me something to say. What do you want me to convey?
A sim might order a sandwich at a deli. A turkey sandwich.
Skitzaboo. Lambove. A King Car scent. In a tube sense. So, I mean, I'd say, with the action, it conveys that. But if I just went, blah, blah, blah. Some blue blah blee. See, this is where people have problems. They don't put anything into it. The whole with comedy, any kind of acting, it's basically you're make believing.
Yeah.
You're making believe what you're doing is really happening.
It is really happening.
That is why painful comedy is so important.
Why?
For you to believe what you're doing, because of something horrible is happening to you and you just pull a face, it's not funny. If you're really honestly uncomfortable, it's always funny. Bob Newhart, I mean, what are you talking about? Yep. Best straight man in the world.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, people are confused about
Alan Arkin. Oh my god, one of my favorite actors of all time, Alan Arkin. And he could play confusion, misery. Catch 22.
Yes.
My favorite film. You guys need to watch Catch 22 out there. Right now, it's so prevalent.
I loved him in Little Miss Sunshine also, when he plays the heroin addicted grandfather.
Oh,
and that
God.
Was just so perfect for him.
I know, and it was so heartbreaking. I'm like, no.
Classic, yeah. The other thing you said you're a connoisseur of is really outsider music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What, you got an example of what's outsider music?
Well, most of my listeners would probably know Wesley Willis. Okay. They might know he was the most popular outsider musician. It's someone who isn't classically trained in any way to do what they're doing. And usually someone who has a certain mental disability. Such as, you know, insanity or, you know, a fetish or some kind of thing. Like, they're brilliant, but they do things like, if it was an artist, it would be someone who would use a bunch of cigarette bands to make an entire penis.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And spend 5 years on it meticulously. And that's what outsider musicians do. There's a lot of really, really good ones out there. But
there is more of a tradition of outsider art.
I know.
Mean, I've seen exhibit in Atlanta of like a guy that makes a statue of Jesus all out of bottle caps. You know, these kind of things.
Well, that's brilliant stuff. And people go, and also art is a rich person's fad. So it's very, but
music
I doubt
is another...
any of these rich people who got that bottle cap Jesus would ever want to listen to my record collection. Like, they wouldn't want to listen to it. They just want to own it. Like, I own this thing.
Yeah,
it's my fancy bird.
Right.
If they had to listen to them talk or sit with them, they'd freak out.
Yeah.
That would be my dream. Yeah. Like, I want to sit. If I could just watch Tom Waits eat an open-faced sandwich and try and make sense of it, I would freaking love to be a fly on that wall. He and Crispin Glover just eating open-faced tuna melts going, I don't know how to make this work. Just eat it, Crispin. I would be in heaven.
I now want to see that, and if I actually ever have an opportunity to...
Well, we have to do...
Tom Waits eating an open
sandwich.
Yeah,
we'll do
sandwich.
Like a Jim Jarmusch. We'll do a coffee and cigarettes, but we'll just... You can play Tom Waits, or I'll play Tom Waits, and you can play Crispin Glover, and we'll just do our own version of coffee and cigarettes with people we want to see having coffee and cigarettes together.
I actually was thinking about redoing My Dinner with Andre. Casting those two guys, and we can play My Dinner with Andre.
I want to do My Dinner on Andre with ice on ice, so it's just two people on chairs and a table, and every once in a while Zamboni goes by and throws him salad, and the chairs are just like they never move. So the chairs just every once in a while are floating around,
slide around.
They just slide around, but they're still saying, "You know the best restaurants. How do you ever get to the?" And they get further away, and the Zamboni's going by, salad, poof. Can you imagine?
Too.
And all the kids would be there going, Mom, where's the ice skaters? My dinner with Andre on ice.
On
You've
ice.
Heard it here first.
That's
trademark.
That's good. No, I think that's the way that the guy must have thought of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead. You know
what
I mean?
My God, that movie.
Like the whole idea of it, that Hamlet and those guys could be in it for just a couple of moments.
I love
that it's all about this. It's this. It's My Dinner with Andre on Ice with Tom Waits and Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Like,
oh God, can you think of anything better? I would buy that for a dollar.
I would buy that for a dollar. All right, I got some other questions for you.
Yeah, please.
How old were you when you first ran away from home?
When I first ran away from home?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I ran away from home two times. I have problems with being alone, so it never lasted very long.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go away, and then I'd just for two nights, and then they'd find me, and I'd come back, and I'd be, thank God I'm home.
Two
you
nights?
Know, yeah, abandoned
Where'd you go
issues.
For two nights?
Oh, I knew a guy. My dad was in burlesque, you know, and he was a spotlight man for strippers and a drummer, and I lived in a burlesque house basement when I was a kid, and my mom knew hippies. Some guy made acid in our basement from Stanford when I was a kid, so I didn't have the traditional upbringing, so I was a little bit of a wild child.
Yes.
Even though I was nice and not violent.
Except to Barbie and Ken.
No.
Donnie and Marie.
Marie Osmond.
Marie only.
Don't, yeah. Okay. No, Donnie was my lover man.
So
I never heard
kind of jealous. You were repressing some kind of.
I knew I was jealous.
Oh, okay.
I wanted her out of the way. I was maleficent. Forget about it. I'm like, that bitch is in the way of my Donnie.
Go.
She got to go.
That bitch got to go.
She got to go. I feel like Franco from the day the day after was that movie, The Last of Days. James Franco, bitches got to go. He's got to go. Bitches got to go.
I'm going to tell you, I'm a little surprised about one thing.
What?
I've asked this question about running away to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Many people have said, I didn't get too far. I didn't stay away too long, you know. And then when they left, they came home within 10 or 20 minutes. You said, I didn't go far. I didn't stay away. And you went away for a couple of days. I mean, that's a real running away.
Because I lived in a fantasy world, so I had my friend, and we met this nice gentleman who was around 35 years old.
With a white van?
Yes, yeah. It was just a great white van. He even had, like, he had chandeliers in there and a little mattress and cookies and champagne. He said, we're going to run away together. I'm going to marry you, Jerry. And I went, great, you know, because I had abandonment issues. I'm like, oh, good, I can jump from there into a worse situation. That's wonderful. Turned out he was wanted by the cops and, like, three different places, and he got busted. And
that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and then I went back home. And,
you know.
I know, I have a hard time, because I've been trying to get date raped so badly that I actually, when I go to a bar, I put a roofie in my own drink, and I pass out. And when I wake up, I've still got my underwear on. Like, it never works. It never works. I'm like, oh no, my drink. Oh no. I think I might pass out and not know what I'm going to do. And then I just get nudged by the baseball bat of the bartender going, it's three, get out.
Where's she was asking for it.
Where is the romance anymore? I want a man to be a man.
Men today.
Gosh.
This is a bad issue.
I know. They won't even open the door, let alone roofie you. Jesus.
Things are really slipping.
I know.
Here's something else. You mentioned that you've been doing a show with Margaret Cho, producing a show.
Oh, well, no, what we did is, it wasn't really a show.
It was an event, more of an...
Yeah, B. Robin.
Charity event.
B. Robin, and yeah. It means B. Robin Williams. When he passed away, it was one of Margaret's best friends in Hollywood. And then Joan Rivers died, which is basically her mother figure.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
And it really threw her for a loop. But she talked to her friend, Michael, who was a comic. And he said, Michael Meehan, and he said, as opposed to grieving Robin, be Robin, because he used to give so much to charity and nobody even knew it. I mean, he did it very quietly. Beyond the big things he did. So we just did concerts, and we collected things for homeless people and gave them out on the street during comics. You know, we had comics, we had musicians, we did events, and we raised a lot of money. But more importantly, it was for just giving people who are displaced dignity. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the places they go, they can't touch things.
Right.
They're shuffled around. It's just giving them, letting them know you're a human. Yeah. You're a human, and you need toothpaste. You know, and we got things like tampons. Nobody ever thinks about that. Socks. Most important thing in the world. Nobody thinks about that. It's like, those are the things they need. Don't just give them a buck. Give them socks. Give them soup. Give them tampons.
So that's what the events were for, is raising money for homeless people and getting comedians and people to perform.
Yeah, and we did it over at the Condor Theater, you know, the strip club. Yeah. And I got to sing a song and dance the pole as Margaret Cho stripped, and we're giving away bread to homeless people. Fucking awesome.
There's a picture of you and Margaret, and you're both either screaming or singing. I kind of can't tell.
We might have been probably both at the same time. We have a very unique musical style together. Mm-hmm. And some would call it tantric. Some would call it Tourettian. I call it art. Yeah. No, we were probably just singing
or screaming. One of the other question marks is there's a mysterious reference in your materials. You have some connection to The Residents.
Yes, I'm in actually a couple bands. I'd like to mention the Sexy Lilliputians. Don't ask me how we came up with the name. I can't remember. But it's a very bizarre band. And Norfleet.
Sexy Lilliputians.
Lilliputians. Mm-hmm. Say it.
Lilliputians.
There we go. One more time.
Sexy Lilliputians.
There you are. Okay. And Norfleet, Lawler, and Gray. Through Bats and through working with those groups, I met The Residents, and I got to be on three of their albums. And really? It was like, I love The Residents. I remember as a kid, I saw them for the first time on Channel 9.
Uh-huh.
They had one of these weird shows where they'd show like the weirdest shit. And I saw The Residents. I'm like, what? They have eyeballs on there. What are they doing? What? Who? And I just recorded it on my little recorder, and I just kept playing it over and over. Once again, a time my mom was worried.
Yeah.
And then, years later, I get to meet them and work with them.
What albums are you a vocalist? Because you might not be singing with their music. It could just be
Oh, no, I do a River of Crime, and that's not a singing piece. It's more of a character-driven one. And I'm also on Tweedles, which is about a clown who turns into a sexual deviant because he always wanted to be a clown.
And he was frustrated, and so he turns to crime.
He just is a very sick, sick gentleman, and I'm a cow lady who he met, who
put her cow to sleep and freaks out and starts singing and then screaming. It's a really fun part because I just got to scream at the end. I was like singing, but it was like, loved it. Very freeing. And then looking at, you know, the lead singer, who I love his voice, and he sounds exactly like that. He sounds like this. He just goes, well, Jared, that was good. Now, if you could just put it a little bit quicker. And I'm like, he's my Madonna. You know, he's my Madonna.
The guy from The Residents.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I learned about The Residents in about 1980, 81. I was in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Up on the East Coast. And the same thing. You say, wow, what the hell is this?
I know. Art
and
rock.
And then when I moved to San Francisco much later, 15 years later, I'm sure that I have met them, but I've never wanted to know who they are.
No, it's not even, yeah, it's like it ruins it.
I know them, the people that know them, I'm sure I've been in the same room with them, but I've never pursued trying to figure it out because that would burst the bubble.
I know, well, you know what though? Just wait for it. If you ever, if you're ever just standing somewhere and all of a sudden behind you you hear, well, I guess I'll have another, there's no way to hide that voice. He can hide his face, he can't hide that voice. He really sounds like that. He's
right,
best voice in the world, man.
Wait, how do him ordering an open-faced roast beef sandwich? Because
oh, yeah. What kind of pumpernickel is that? Do you make that in-house? Yeah. I guess I'll have some of that roast beef. Is that local? No, I just have it warm.
I didn't know if you could make roast beef creepy, but you did.
Oh, yeah. You can make anything creepy.
You made it creepy.
You know, whatever. If you ever want to make anything creepy out there, listeners, just lick your fingers before you touch things constantly. Don't make any bones about it. Right. Don't make a big deal about it. Just lick your fingers and touch things as you're talking to people.
Yeah.
Especially ladies, if you don't want that guy to ask you out, touch your fingers a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're reminding me, I auditioned for some little film in L.A. that, you know.
Yeah. Well,
and the story was basically there was a young guy who was confused about his sexuality. And so he throws his ball over the fence of a known sex offender in the neighborhood.
Oh,
so that he has an excuse to knock on the door because he wants to be sexually assaulted.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was going to play the sex offender guy. And so I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is what I've been waiting for my whole career. And so I said, how can I make this guy creepy? Because I didn't want to go overboard, you know. And so in the audition, as I was doing the lines, I just kept, like, I was salivating. And so I just kept, like, wiping my mouth.
But that was the only tick.
And the people who were interviewing me were visibly
shaken.
They were creeped out. Just because I was salivating and just doing it straight.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, it's the little things. It's the little things. Yeah. You can't put too much on it. That's where comedy, people in comedy go bad when they go overboard.
Exactly.
You have to be a freaking Jerry Lewis, like, genius, physical comic kind of. And that's kind of old school.
Right.
That's kind of, we're kind of getting away from that.
Yeah, we're beyond it. Because that stuff isn't real, like you mentioned before. The realism in there.
I'm telling you, The Office,
carry the comedy. Yeah.
The Office, The Office, and Extras, two of the best series I've ever seen. Those guys know how to make difficulty. The silences in the original The Office after he does a joke, and everybody's just looking at him. And they're just looking at him. They don't have a huge look on their face. Right. They're just uncomfortable.
They're like, what?
Yeah, and they don't even, and it's so painful and so funny. That's why it didn't fly so well in America so much. They had to do an American version because it's too uncomfortable. People couldn't deal with it. They're like, ew.
Now, here's something else completely random-like. I think I noticed you are friends with Dylan Brody. You know him?
Dylan Brody.
Yeah, he's a guy in L.A., storyteller guy. He's got gray hair, glasses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. He
is. A lot of martial arts for a while.
I'll tell you what.
You know,
that guy, yes. I haven't been in touch with him in a long time. This guy, oh, what a great writer.
Yeah.
And a superb, I would say, gentleman.
Yes.
You do not see gentleman. He is like an old school
yeah.
gentleman, but he doesn't seem old fashioned. He just is incredibly, he's a genius.
Cares about words. He's a word guy.
He is a word guy.
And he takes so much meticulous care. He was on this show.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, is he doing something right now?
He's always doing all kinds of stuff. A lot of storytelling around L.A. And
let's say his name one more time.
Dylan Brody.
Dylan Brody. He's guys, if you ever have a chance to listen to this guy, really, it's a lost art, and it's a rare commodity. So really, check it.
He's got a couple of CDs and stuff like that. One of the most interesting things with him is that I anagrammed his name, Dylan Brody.
Oh, when'd you come up with?
The thing that really scored was Ran By Oddly. Dylan Brody Ran By Oddly, and he was surprised because he had never anagrammed his own name. And he says that he has a weird leg and he does run in a like off-kilter low-key
way. Oh, so
way.
He kind of runs kind of in a circle so after it, while
he chases his tail. Sometimes he gets a little too carried away. So it's accurate to say Dylan Brody Ran By Oddly is right on. And
that is exceptional.
He really enjoyed that, yeah. Okay, here's another question. I believe that everyone has a superpower.
Yes.
And to me, that is some quality or energy that just wants to come through you, and all you have to do is get out of the way. Do you know what that is
yes.
for yourself?
Yes, I know what it was. I used to think it was making people happy. Then I thought it was my great comedic ability. Then I thought it was my improvisational ability. Then I thought it was teaching people. I know what it is now. I make people weirder every time I meet them. They leave a little more fucked up than they were when they met me.
That's your superpower.
My superpower is people get weirder around me. They can't help it. It happens. They monkey out, and I enjoy it. And I'm using that. I would say that's an evil power, but I'm using it for good.
Well, that my question is, when did you recognize that this was your power?
I think it was when I was always scared of teaching. I take that as very serious. It took me 2 years. People want me to teach, and I'm like, no, because I don't want to just regurgitate things I've learned. Right. I want to figure out, what do I think of this? How do I get there? How do I get people to get to where I am?
Not that there's anything wrong about regurgitation.
Yes, it's no, necessary. Oh, my God, good. You eat bad tuna, you better.
Yeah, but in this case, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't appropriate. No. It wasn't. For some of my classes, though, it's circular breathing. Yeah, I'll talk about that later. No, this one, I was teaching, and finally I taught, and I realized that I could get these people who were so bottled up to do outrageous stuff and be shocked and like laugh and leave like more excited and just be weird and be happier and like that kind of thing. I like just monkeying people out,
yeah.
Letting them know, let's do this stupid thing, come on, you and me, let's do it now. And they go, okay, and then they forget I'm even doing it and I can back away and they're still doing it. Awesome. Ricky Gervais has that talent too.
And
that's
then
his talent.
They discover that they could go to this place that they in the past didn't know or didn't allow themselves to go there.
Yeah, it gives them a safe place to be silly and actually appreciated mm-hmm. to be silly and knowing that not everything has to hit.
Right.
Genius. You can't hit genius unless you walk through a lot of dog crap.
Now, so when this power comes through you, yeah. what do you experience?
I'm an empath. So if someone's having a good time, I have a good time. If someone's crying, I cry. I feel it. I actually, it's not sympathy where it's just like I look at someone and go, oh, you poor thing. I actually, it hurts my heart or it makes my heart rise. Like when I see happy couples, I love it. It gives me hope. I'm like, oh, they're in love. And I feel like I'm in love for a second. Then they're gone and I went, oh, fuck them. You know, but for that
it's
moment.
Like Jerry Lewis in The Disorderly Orderly.
Yeah.
But with emotions.
It's yeah. emotions.
If you haven't seen that movie, you should see it.
No, I see it.
But, you know, he plays this young orderly. It's one of his early roles. And
yes.
he's wheeling these old people around. And they're all complaining about their ailments. Like old people are trying to outdo each other.
Yeah.
And everything they say, he experiences
he
and feels.
Gets sick. He gets sick. Yeah, he gets
fantastic.
Twitchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that's emotional.
I think that's one of the movies that really made him in France. When they say that he's a genius, like that is one of the things they look at as the disorder.
Well, his physical comedy was knockout for the time.
Yeah.
You know, for the time.
Yeah.
It was. Give me Ricky Gervais doing a silly dance right now and I will laugh my ass off. That's kind of like, I like people moving awkwardly, not perfectly. Like, awkward movement is exceptional.
So, this using for good or evil.
Oh, speaking of bad films, hold on 1 second. Whoa. Jerry Lewis has a film that there's only two copies in the world. He owns one and one other person owns one, but a little part of it leaked out on the internet. Yeah. And it's he plays a clown in Nazi Germany who leads the children to the showers.
Yeah, I've seen parts of it. It's awful.
Well, you know what?
Horrible.
That's what made him really popular in Germany. That's where he really, you know, France.
We're going to party with this guy.
Yeah, oh, God, this guy's great. He's funny. Look at how he dances with all of the people going into the showers.
What I got to ask my bad or weird movie question. Putney Swope. Have you seen that movie?
That rings a bell.
Putney Swope is a 1969 black and white film about an advertising agency. And it's made by Robert Downey Sr., who was a crazy motherfucker.
Really?
Yep, totally crazy.
Well, look at his son. Yeah, I can imagine.
No, his son is normal compared to this guy.
Ooh, ooh.
And the movie begins, it's a bunch of white guys around a table at an advertising agency, and the CEO comes in and dies on the table. And they have an election right there for the new CEO, and they elect the one black guy who's on the board. And from there on out, it becomes like Truth and Soul Advertising, Inc., and all the movies in all black and white except for the commercials, which are in color, and it is.
I've got to see
enough,
this.
Maybe not bad enough for you.
No, it sounds good. That doesn't sound bad.
Putney Swope.
That sounds actually like a good film that might be weird. I'm talking about you want to put a screw through your eye just to end the pain bad. Like, that sounds interesting. Yeah. That sounds Catch-22 like, and I like that. Idiocracy as well is coming out again in the movie theaters soon, I believe, and that is something to watch right now too.
Who's in Idiocracy? That sounds familiar, but I'm not.
Idiocracy, well, I can't really name the actors, okay. but I'll tell you, it's about one of the women was in Bridesmaids. She played the lead in that from Saturday Night Live, but she's amazing in this one.
Yeah.
And it's just Melissa about
McCarthy.
A world.
Melissa McCarthy. Is that her?
Might be.
All right, well, we're going to figure it out.
But anyway, it's about a world where they get the two most normal people in the world and they put them in a chamber, and then the world goes to crap. They forget about them and they wake up years later, and it's what the world is like now, which is insane, where the president is an idiot. Well, not yet, but it's going to happen soon. The president is an idiot, and people are like pouring Gatorade on crops because they think that's going to help. It's brilliant. It's brilliant, and it's terrifying.
I'm going to check it out.
That and Catch-22.
Relatively recent.
No.
Idiocracy. It's older.
Okay. Yeah, it's an older movie. It's being put out because I think people are realizing how good it was and how scary and prophetic it was now.
All right, well, Catch-22 is obviously classic. I've seen that. I would like to watch it again.
Arthur Garfunkel's in it. He's not even Art Garfunkel at that time. He's Arthur Garfunkel. And he's brilliant in the movie.
I remember he's in there. All right, here's another question. You have a somewhat quirky sleeping or bedtime ritual. What is it?
I do. Yeah, actually, I do. I am 47 years old, and because I smoke a lot, and I had my dabbling with a little bit of alcohol in the past, I got early menopause. So my sleeping ritual, I've got neighbors upstairs who are very loud and neighbors downstairs that are very loud. So I turn on a bad movie. I put a leather coat over the back of my bed, wait for it to get cold, and when I have a hot flash, I fling my arm over and put my wrist, my pulse point, on my cold leather coat. That's my sleeping ritual.
So you sleep with a cold leather jacket?
Yeah, on the back of my bed, so when I have a hot flash, I can just put my pulse point back and cool my blood down. It totally works, ladies.
You heard it here first.
You did.
Is that covered, that cold leather jacket thing, is it covered by Obamacare?
I'm still waiting for that paperwork. It's been about 2 years. I'm sure it's coming.
I'm sure it's
right?
coming. I'm sure
government it's eventually.
All right, next question. As a child, maybe we already dealt with this. As a child, you had an imaginary friend.
I was I was my own imaginary friend.
Well, the rest of the question is, your imaginary friend also had an imaginary friend.
Oh, yeah.
Where are they now?
My imaginary friend. Oh, man. They're in the south of France. Mm-hmm. And old as shit. And just really too thin and, like, with cankles, even though they're too thin. And, like, with a really tight bun and a beautiful, like, gown. And she's got a bunch of little towel boys. They're like Asian pygmy men, but they're gorgeous and young, and they don't hardly speak English. And she just lays back and says, "You love me, don't you?" And they go, "Yes, we do, ma'am." And she goes, "Like, bring me another bamba." And they go, "Yes, ma'am." And she thinks they love her, and they're all gay, and she has no idea.
Well, then they're probably not Asian, they're Moroccan. If they're in the south of France and they're like
there
young
is
boys.
A movement now where we're getting a lot more Asian gays in the south of France. So
oh, really?
Yeah. You've
See,
been
Paul
reading.
Bowles, Paul Bowles died too young. He
The world is going crazy. Cats are eating dogs. Everything's going nuts now.
And they're importing young gay Asian boys to the south of France.
They're not importing them, dear. They're going on their own accord. They want to go there.
I understand.
It's a movement.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. It's like Pokemon Go. They just poke their man go.
They just
go.
Poke. There you go.
What is this Pokemon Go? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You don't play Pokemon Go.
Why? Can you be more obvious about trying to make the public not look at anything that's going on by putting a cell phone in front of their face and saying, go walk into traffic for a fictitious underwater thing and they're finding dead bodies and stuff. What the hell is this?
That's good. I love that.
Perfect. And their argument against it is, well, see, now they're helping out crime. They're helping out crime? They're finding dead bodies! People are being mugged. They're going, yeah, guess what? guess what? I got another man poking go right here behind this bush. All you kids come over here at 3 o'clock in the morning. Boom! Gotcha.
That has happened too.
Yeah.
That has happened too. Now, there's a thing I do on this show with everybody, and I'm going to tell you what it is.
Ooh.
Many years ago,
yes,
I decided that I wanted to give my friends and family, people who know me and love me, permission to hit me in the face with a pie or squirt seltzer anytime and without warning. And I did it because...
That is awesome.
It would make other people happy.
I love it. I think it's awesome.
You never get permission to do this thing. So here's my question for you.
Yes.
You are gonna get hit in the face with a pie.
Yes.
And the person who does it, you're gonna give them permission so that you could receive this pie with as much love and generosity as possible.
Yes.
Who would you like to throw the pie that hits you in the face?
Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog. The
yes.
Film, the film director?
Yes.
And the reason is?
I love Werner Herzog. And he's German, and he'd do it weirdly. He wouldn't just throw it. He would have a long monologue as he did it. He'd go, now the pie like the jungle is coming so close, but it's a very welcoming womb of cream coming towards your nose. Now look, don't be afraid. It's only nature coming at you in full force, like your mother pushing you from the... Oh, yeah, Werner. Why would you get... Isn't that... That's almost like porno. I mean, really? I would take that over a porno. Having been shoved a pie in the face by Werner Herzog. Who's with me out there? Yell yes if you're with
Yell
me.
Yell yes.
Yell yes. Open your windows. Throw it open and say, Werner, hit me in the head with a pie, you kraut.
Mm-hmm. I think you would enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I think he would enjoy it.
I love the fact that you told people who loved you they can squirt you in the face or hit you in a pie at any time. I love that.
Over the past 20 years, it's happened. I've been hit by 50 pies. Easy.
Oh, see, this is what you... When times get tough, you got to watch because they can't throw a pie at their boss. They can't throw it at their mom who's sick, who's driving them insane. But you just said, anytime you wanna. I'm sure some people come over, they've already got a duffel bag. I'm spending the night. Poof, poof, poof.
I have some relative that does it almost every time I see him.
I love it. Oh, you know, it's so sweet, though, because nobody gets permission to do that.
That's exactly why it works.
And I do that with my mom. Every once in a while, I just tell my mom, Mom, you just need to shut up because you are such a mouthy little bitch. And she'll go, no, fuck you. I'll be as loud as I want to. And then she giggles. She loves it. She can't tell anybody to fuck off. She loves it.
Is why it works. It's this forbidden fruit thing. And, you know, if you'll pardon the pun, forbidden fruit. But I've discovered something else that I'm going to share with you.
Yes, yes.
When you start to receive these pies with love and generosity, it can become a kind of meditation. Because all the things in your body, that fight or flight reflex when someone comes at you with an aggressive, all that still happens. But you get this moment where you say, I said this is okay. Boom! And then it hits you. And over time, that is what has happened for me, is that it has become a meditative moment of receiving this pie.
I adore you. You know what that is? That's like you're like a skydiver. This is what you get. You know what thrill seekers?
Yeah.
They usually jump off things or whitewater raft. I'm going to take acid and watch the wall, like crazy shit like that. Like, what are you doing? No, don't stop it. I do improv.
Yeah.
You get hit in the face by pies.
Occasionally.
You do.
Yeah. We have a Facebook page for this, which is called Pie Yourself Free, because I turned it into like a spiritual movement.
Pie Yourself Free.
Pie Yourself Free. So you can join the Facebook page.
Everybody, Pie Yourself Free. I suggest it highly.
And I didn't bring a card, but I have them. You can make this offer to your friends and family, of course, now. You know, at Christmas time, give the gift that keeps on giving. Give your friends what they really want this holiday season, which is permission to hit you in the face with a pie or squirt seltzer at any time.
I love that.
Stefanos has hit me on numerous occasions.
He has?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I love it, and he's the nicest guy in the world.
He had a great time.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Oh, you gave him a G, because he would oh, he's such a nice guy. So for him to be able to go, you know.
Oh, no, he really, it was easy for him to hit me in the face with a pie. He's not that nice. I mean, nice to you, maybe, because you don't know him as well.
Does he actually try and clip your tooth with the pie pan? See, that's the only problem I would worry about. It's like if someone's too angry, chip your tooth.
No, but they're not angry. That's the point. You take all the anger and aggressiveness out, and all you're left with is love and pie.
I did that with my friend Rafe Chase, who actually is a brilliant improviser. Fantastic. And oh my God, talk about a gentleman. This guy wears vintage clothes. He looks straight out of the 40s.
He was one of my teachers at Bats.
Yeah, he's just a gentleman. One of my best friends in the world. And I used to make him tell me to shut up and be a good little girl, because I was too mouthy. And he would do it, and he'd love it, because he'd never do that. Right. He would never tell somebody, you know what? You're a dirty girl. You need to sit down and shut up. And then he'd give me like, oh, and here's your fruit cocktail, and here's your tea.
So there's something very satisfying about being able to do something that you didn't have permission for.
And you know what? We need to celebrate. And I love this podcast, because I'll tell you something. There's something about the world is a very hard place. It's getting harder. We're getting more and more separated from each other. This is why I don't like Pokemon Go. Because we're getting more and more separated. You don't even notice people anymore. If you can celebrate the uncomfortable and laugh at it, if you can celebrate the joke of the thing, because if you don't laugh, you're going to cry or shut down.
Yeah.
So you got to do it, man. I'm working with the homeless all the time. This is why I was late today. I was handing out store stuff.
Tampons.
I was storing tampons. Oh, did I say that out loud? Guess where I'm storing them? No, I was storing a veteran's sleeping stuff in my place before he got it. He just finally got an apartment after 10 years.
Wow.
Now, being an empath, living on the Upper Haight will kill you. Yeah. Because there's a homeless person every 2 feet, and nobody knows it's them. And you got to laugh at it, though. You got to find a way. Like when I was doing the Margaret Cho thing, I was in such pain that I just started thinking, I'm going to start giving hand jobs to the homeless. That's going to be my new campaign.
Hand jobs to the homeless.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler hand jobs to the homeless, you know.
It's got a certain ring to it.
It doesn't it?
Like it's a campaign. It's a
marketing campaign. It's a marketing campaign. Yeah. It's like I want to give him dignity and a little on the side.
Dignity and a reach around.
A little, yeah, a little reach around too. I'm reaching around to help you.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't just give a hand. Give a hand job.
Don't give a hand. Give them a hand job. Yeah, yeah. You've got two. Use one for someone else.
Yeah.
You can keep one for yourself. Yeah. This one belongs to the veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now that you say it like that, you know, in India, because they eat with their hands and
for some reason
it took them a long time to invent forks, you know, like they eat with their right hand and then the left hand is the pooping hand.
Yeah.
So I think in this case, you could probably reserve one hand for yourself and have the other hand.
I'm not non-dominant. A picky eater.
Okay. But if you wanted to, for the people at home listening, if they wanted to do this.
Well, yeah, if they don't want to go wholeheartedly down the,
they could have
Christian trail.
Non-dominant hand.
Yeah, sure.
Job.
Yeah, if you want to give the homeless person your, you know, your lazy hand or your poo hand, go for it. But I believe they deserve my rice hand, and that's what I give them. I give them my rice hand.
Right.
I save my poo hand for my poo.
I understand.
The homeless deserve a rice hand.
I'm glad to see that you are raising the bar.
I am so raising it. Now, I don't limbo. I do the opposite. I'm like, how high can you go? You know, and I just walk underneath.
There's got to be a word for limbo. Because limbo sounds, it has all the letters of low in it. And in that way, it has a kind of onomatopoeia to it. So the opposite, like high something, I don't know what that word is.
Hydrox. No, that's a cookie.
That's a cookie.
Blah, it doesn't work.
But maybe that's why they invented it, because it's the peak.
No, Oreo.
The aisance of cookie.
No.
Oh, but they tried.
They tried, but there's no Oreo.
They failed.
They did.
They failed. All right, here's the last thing, because we're running out of time. I do like to anagram things on this show.
Oh, I don't know how to anagram. I'm so bad. I have dyslexia a little bit.
Well, I'm not a savant. There's a website that you put the thing in and it tells you all the anagrams. So
oh, God. Well, you could have just lied to me and I would have looked up to you more, but that's all right.
I don't need that.
Yeah, you can do a computer. So
I anagrammed your name, Jerry Lawler.
Oh, yeah, you let you go.
I got a few things. But then I also, is your name really Geraldine?
No.
It's not.
No, it is G-E-R-R-I.
Two R's.
Yes.
Oh, then I really messed up because I
just
used one R.
Oh, gosh. Now, you see what you did? You blue-balled me. And now
then,
I'm going to have to go home and cry. Christerbate.
Geraldine.
Cry and masturbate at the same time.
At the same time. Because I was curious which one came first, like a chicken or egg thing.
I know. So you did both wrong.
You did both wrong.
Okay.
So I'm 0-2. Can we look at the things that I... that are not your name?
Yeah,
and see
sure.
If any,
let's look at the things that are not my name.
Because the thing, the trick here, not the trick, but sometimes, like Dylan Brody ran by oddly. Sometimes when you rearrange the letters, new meanings and things are revealed that are surprising and super accurate. So let's first look at your misspelled name of Jerry Lawler.
Okay.
Just read some of those and see if any of them hit.
We got Lower Grail.
Lower Grail.
I kind of like that. A lower girl is actually very true.
Wait. Lower grail, because there's the holy grail, which is the high.
Yeah.
But the lower grail.
That would be me.
Nobody searches for the lower grail.
No, they don't. You know, and I can't get date raped.
Yeah.
A lower girl.
Yeah. Lower.
Air El Growl is actually my Mexican wrestling name.
Air El Growl.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I thought that could be like the ISIS airline for dogs. Air El Growl. Because we don't have a pet airline.
That actually sounds great.
Like the ISIS.
What's it trademarked? Don't use that.
Arabic or ISIS pet airline.
Wait a minute. I like this one. A wig roller.
Well, I've seen you. You've done that.
Yeah, I've totally done that.
Rolled wigs.
Okay, so here's...
And what's the other one?
A grill row.
A grill row. I wasn't sure about
that. Yeah, that's all right. I like lower grail, I think it's...
Lower grail.
Lower grail.
The opposite of
so
the
far grail. is
That's the winner.
An Air El Growl, I like too, as a Mexican wrestling name. But I agree, I think it's an airline for dogs.
Yeah.
Geraldine Lawler is...
Geraldine Lawler, which is not your name.
Not at all.
I like the first one in a way.
A leeward rolling.
Now, what direction is leeward? There's wayward and leeward. It's like
I don't know. Starboard. It sounds like I wrote Harry Potter.
a leeward rolling. Yeah, or maybe, yeah, that's actually an anagram for J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, yeah. As well. A leeward rolling. Yeah. I did not Harry Potter. I did Harry Potsnot, and he's a witch who lives in Hogwarts. You know, it's just all just like ripping her off.
A little bit off. What's the other one?
A worldlier angel.
Well, I think that's you, a worldlier angel. I've never seen a worldlier angel than you.
Oh, isn't that a sweet thing? I wish my name was Geraldine now so I could have that. Oh, God, I've been around.
See? What else we got?
We're a real gondola.
Now, I got to explain this one. And this one now is going to work for you. It's we're real gonadal.
That's it.
We're real gonadal.
Yeah.
Real is misspelled. It's R-I-L-L. So it's this woman who's got kind of a valley girl accent. We're real.
And they got, really, we're real gonadal.
You're gonadal.
And they got, we're real gonadal.
The hat flish is, yeah. Got it. No, wait, say it again, because you got it.
We're real gonadal.
Yeah, you're having a gonadal moment, hot flashes, menopause.
Oh my God, you guys, I got to stop. Because, oh my God, girls, tonight we are going to get, we're real gonadal.
Yeah.
Tonight, it's all about gonadal.
Yeah, there you go. Now, this I liked because...
Eel Rolling Award?
Yeah, there's not
the Eel Rolling Award. There might be, though. If you go online, there might be.
Japan.
Oh, God.
They do eel rolling in Japan all the time.
Do they really?
Oh, my there might goodness. Be an award for rolling there,
well,
eels.
Well, I would imagine if they have some... You know, they're very serious peoples. So, I would imagine that they would have... an award if you're good enough at something, they would have to reward you for that.
The Japanese are serious, or the eels are serious?
The eels are serious.
Yeah, they don't mess around.
Yeah, no, I would think the eel would get an award for being rolled that long and surviving.
So in Japan, if you have an especially talented eel who is good at rolling, if you train them to roll, mm-hmm. you can win this award. It's like a frog racing, like the Mark Twain Toad of Calaveras County, but in Japan they have an eel rolling award.
That is
right.
That's a, you know what? That's a really good. They tried that with leeches.
Yeah.
In the mid 1600s, and it didn't turn out.
The leech jumping.
Yeah, I know, but they could because it kept getting stuck on the people's hands.
Yeah.
Like they try and push them.
Yeah.
And it just like it.
These are all the early versions of the flea circus that didn't quite work.
Oh, and the flea circus never really worked that well anyway.
Now this last one, I think we can make something up out of that.
Old Rwanda Grill.
The Old Rwanda Grill.
Oh, girl, you better come over to Old Rwanda Grill. Mm-hmm. Tonight we have a special on hot hash. Mm-hmm. Old Rwanda Grill. Yeah. She sounds like I'm trying to do a dirty blues band. I love dirty blues, like the really old stuff, the really nasty stuff from the 1930s that people are like, oh my God, really?
Are they really saying
that? Yeah, did they say
that?
No,
it's dirty.
But Old Rwanda Grill is a great name for my character. Hello, honey child. I'm Old Rwanda Grill. Are you ready to come to my hot hash shack? Mm-hmm.
And when you say old, you get growly and guttural.
Old Rwanda Grill. Old Rwanda Grill. Oh, girl, I'm not old. I'm old. Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
That's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
You got it.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but of all of those, I think the winner kind of is the Lower Grail.
I think Lower Grail. I think that, because it's, you know, you're saying, look at me, I'm a grail. But I'm kind of used up and spent and shit. You know, I'm like a seventh generation grail. You know how they have seventh generations? Yeah. They have seventh generation dishwashing detergent. I don't want to wash. That's like having seventh generation tampons. What's next, toilet paper? Oh, great. It's been used seven times. No footprints. No, that's wrong.
I never thought about that. When it comes to toilet paper, I'm not concerned about footprint.
Used
toilet paper, footprint is not the thing I'm looking out for.
No, or dishwashing detergent. I know they just mean the container, but still, when you see seventh generation, wash your dishes with this. Like, I'm not gonna
That's why clean. It doesn't work very well.
No.
It's not very effective.
No.
Oh, wait, can we do one more thing? I forgot.
Yeah, sure.
I also anagrammed the residents.
Yay!
And no, this is going to be good because we're going to see if there's something.
Yay.
So here are the interesting things that came out for me. Let's read them.
Denser
theist.
Theist.
Yeah. Because you have all these kind of ephemeral theists, and they're all into heaven and things where there's not
that,
much.
That makes sense. That actually makes.
So if you're a denser theist.
Tethered Sims. Now.
Tethered Sims is a good one.
I think that's a pretty good one, yeah, for the residents.
Yeah, it's like an albatross around your neck. The tethered.
Resented Shit. That's another good one for the residents.
A little on the nose.
For it's a little on the nose. It's a little matchy-matchy. Yeah. The Dissenter. Now, I like The Dissenter. It sounds like a graphic novel character, yes, that never really took off, but they love him in like little places in South Korea or whatever. They're like, oh yeah, no, The Dissenter.
Yeah.
Rented Thesis. They have great ones because they're so weird that they all kind of match.
Just kind of comes out the
Rented Thesis.
Yeah.
And Desists Nether. Nah, that one's a little
Deists. What is that?
Deists. Nether.
I was supposed to actually turn that around and say Nether Deists, and I thought
that sounds
and
better.
The Nether regions are like the outer regions that nobody likes to go, so that could be hell.
No, the Nether regions.
If you're a Nether
exactly
theist,
where I want to go.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. You are.
I'm telling you,
God is in the farthest reaches of the
dark
like places.
Resented Shit. Or yeah. Tethered Sins.
Tethered Sins, yeah.
The Dissenter, though, is great. And that is the best one in a way because that's not matchy-matchy, yeah, and it sounds like a superhero, and it's, yeah, the residents, and that's plural, and the Dissenter is one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. The Dissenter is good.
The Dissenter is good.
Well, I'm sorry to say that we've kind of run out of time.
You know what? You are a gentleman, a scholar, mm-hmm, a man of thought, a humorous bloke, and I've appreciated my time here very much. Now, if you could please take your thumb out of my ass so I can leave the table. Okay. Not like that, though. Not like that. Do you have a tissue?
Tissue, I hardly know you.
Oh.
I would like to thank my guest, voice actor, comedian, improviser, and allergy sufferer.
Oh, my butt.
Jerry Lawler, for coming in this week.
God, I'm ruptured.
If you would like to buy a Comedy Death Star coffee mug.
I don't have a taint anymore.
Nobody has done that. Email me at comedydeathstar@acsdigitaltv. Taintless, you're taintless?
I feel like a piggy bank now. What have you done to me?
Dylan Vigil is our producer and engineer. Our theme music was written and performed by Dean Marmel.
God, I'm stuck to the chair. Don't.
You've been listening to Comedy Death Star, the official podcast of Actors Comedy Studio, right here in Hollywood, USA, / Stefanos' apartment in San Francisco.
I'm going to need a crowbar.
I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Thanks for listening.
Do you have any butter?
We'll be back next week.
Get me out of here.